Hey, this is Alex with the Unbiased Trailblazer podcast. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Unbiased Blazers. There's a link in our bio for our Discord server where you can join in on the discussions, give us your takes, give us comments, or simply just join in on a podcast. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please rate and review our show. And if you're listening on Spotify, there's a new feature where you can rate our show as well. Now, let's get to the show. Rip City, baby.
3, 2, 1, 0, 0.
Lift off and the clock has started.
Going on, Rip City. This is episode 41 of the Unbiased Trailblazer podcast. This is Alex. I've got Fawad here with me. And actually, we also have a special guest we'll introduce here in just a second. Fawad, how are you doing?
I am very tired today, so hopefully that doesn't come across too much, but I have been up since about 5:30 a.m. today, so.
Yikes! get you an energy drink real quick and we'll get you going.
I'm just going to knock you out as soon as we finish recording this.
So, like I mentioned, we have a special guest, and we actually might even have another person joining us a little bit later. He's kind of busy right now. So we have Daniel here with us. Daniel, how are you doing tonight?
Doing good. How are you?
Doing well. First off, appreciate you joining us. We have some stuff we want to talk about, specifically tanking. First things first, before we get into all the craziness, I'm assuming you're a Blazer fan, correct?
Yes.
How long would you say you've been a Blazer fan?
Oh.
I became
a fan probably about when Dame got drafted.
Okay. Fair enough. Were you a fan of another team before that, a player before that?
I mean, I was a Blazer fan. I just really didn't get, like, into it until then.
Gotcha. Fair enough. I was a fan of Tracy McGrady, so once he retired, that's when I became a Blazer fan. So nothing wrong with being a fan, you know, a newer fan. Not really a newer fan. You've been a fan for a while, so. You've experienced everything so far. So let's jump into this. This podcast was all about, I wanted to get the people in, a lot of people, especially in the Facebook forums that we're in. There was a good amount of people that are not a fan of tanking, and you were one of them. I put out a post saying that we wanted to do an episode where people who are opposed to tanking come in and talk with us. So that's what we're going to do. And this is going to be the first time, I think, in all of our episodes, Fawad, where we've had conflicting opinions on something, because pretty much we've always kind of agreed on things or had just kind of slight disagreements. This is going to be the first time where we're going to have someone who opposes how we think. So it's going to be interesting to hear. So with that being said, Daniel, I am of the opinion. Let me state this first. I don't like tanking. I wish tanking wasn't a thing. The issue is tanking is a thing, and if we don't tank, the teams that are tanking are going to just take advantage of us not tanking. That's my issue. If it was a perfect world for me, tanking would not be a thing. Everybody would be playing competitive basketball, putting out full rosters with players that were meant to be playing. So let me just put that way. But I am okay with us tanking. Daniel, I know you are not a fan of tanking, so kind of just let us know your thoughts, opinions on just tanking in general.
So, like, the main part of it would be, like, you just have to be competitive. Like, playing basketball, you would expect to step on the court to win every time you do. And then it's just, like, I would never be in favor of purposely losing games. Just because it's, like, where's the love in basketball on that side?
So let me ask you this.
That's like the main thing.
Okay, keep going.
With it. And then like the other part of it is like when you actually like think about it, out of the teams that have actually like purposely tanked, not ones that were just like bad, but teams that like purposely tanked, Which, how long has it been since a team that purposely tanked has actually won?
Well, that's, so that's the issue that we run into. You, I mean, you have a fair point there. First things first, I want to address your issue about coming out and trying to lose games. I do not believe are the Trailblazers, as of right now, the players are trying to lose the games. The issue is the front office has made the roster bad enough that they cannot win games.
Yeah, I 100% put the blame of that on the front office.
Yeah, the players never tank. Coaches almost never tank as well.
You know, the players and coaches are going to go out and, like, they're going to try to win the game.
Correct. Yeah. Yep.
But when there's such a, like, talent, like, discrepancy, there's not much you can do there.
Which you're right. There is a huge, if you look at our roster compared to a lot of other rosters, you can tell that the front office has made it a priority to get these players out there, either A, to see what we have in these players that we are going to keep. You know, for example, Keon Johnson, Trendon Watford, maybe Eubanks, and oh my gosh, why am I forgetting Williams?
And Brown. Point guard.
Oh, and Brown, true. Which we'll talk about Brown in just a second. But other than that, there's players. I don't think Perry's going to be a part of a team. We've definitely given CJ Ellaby more than enough to try to prove something. And like I've stated 100 times. This is 101. That guy is not meant to be in the NBA, in my opinion. But I think it's more just, like you said, there's such a discrepancy in the talent levels that it's clear that the front office is tanking. It's been clear for a while, holding out, you know, Nurk and Ant with these injuries that, sure, maybe they were, you know, legitimate injuries, but now we've gone way past their time frames and they're still holding them out.
Have they announced Josh Hart out for the rest of the year yet?
Not that I've heard Josh Hart. I don't think I've heard anything on Josh Hart yet.
They didn't officially say he's out for the year, but he will be.
Okay. Quick shout out real quick. It looks like Derek just joined. He was the one that said he would join late. Derek, how are you doing tonight?
Doing good. Good.
I heard you were doing some hockey, watching a hockey game and having to do a report on that.
Yeah. I can't really hear you too well. It seems to be quite quiet here, but
are you on your phone?
Yeah, I'm on my phone. Yeah,
there should be like a speaker button that'll put it on the speaker so you can hear me louder. Hopefully we can get that figured out. If not, we'll take a pause and we'll get that figured out. But Fawad, do you have anything you want to add before we kind of move more into the tanking?
I was just gonna talk about the tanking. I'm kind of
there we go, got it.
All right, that's good. I'm kind of like in the middle. I don't think I'm as in favor as you or most of the fans, but I'm also not completely opposed like Daniel, even though I used to be, like, until this season, I would have 100% agreed with Daniel, like, on everything he said. I think it doesn't work out as often as people make it out to be. I think a lot of people tank and then they don't get anything out of it because, you know, even if you get the best odds, you could still end up with like the fifth pick. So I think there's a lot of reasons against tanking.
Exactly. And
I'm sure you guys, you two will cover the negatives about it enough. So I'll talk about like the one or two reasons why I'm okay with it for us this year. It's mainly because we have a competitive roster that I know next year will definitely be in contention for the playoffs, if not like a deeper run. I think, like, you know, we're not putting all our eggs in the tanking basket. I think that since we have, I guess, a backup or we have a plan, or I hope we have a plan moving forward, that's why I'm relatively okay with it versus if we just blew it up and we went all in on tanking, I wouldn't have liked that. And then the other reason why I'm kind of more okay with it is because, you know, at least the Dame injury, it was natural. It did happen. Like, the ones later in the season, like, yeah, we kind of, you know, forced them to sit. But at the start of the season, we planned on making the playoffs. But when Dame got injured and he was going to be out for the season anyways, or pretty much the entire season. So, like, at that point, you know, if you were intentionally tanking or not, I don't think the win difference would have been that much. We're, like, the 13th seed right now. We might have been the 10th seed. So that, you know, that difference is not enough for me to get, you know, too upset about it.
And let me add one little thing onto yours, and it kind of, you kind of addressed it anyways. Tanking, you are right, Daniel. It doesn't necessarily always work out, and like you said, there's not very many teams that have won a championship after tanking. But we're not in the same situation that a lot of those teams that were tanking were. We have a, like Fawad said, we have an established roster with competitive players that are good players. We're adding on to that, where when they're tanking, they're legitimately starting over. They're looking for that one, that number one piece, maybe the number two piece, like that will move into the number one. We're there already. We have the number one piece. We're looking for either trading these picks for, you know, established players that can help us win now, or that, you know, saying that's our idea is to build around Dame still. Or we're looking for the future and we're drafting younger players with more talent, or we're trying to draft the most NBA ready players right now, hoping that they can contribute. That's the difference for me with the tanking this year, is we're more established than most tanking teams are. But
that's very true.
I want to let Derek get in here. Go for it.
It's the market. I mean, like you say, we have Dame and stuff, but then we also went after Grant with the Pistons, and I think we may still get him in the offseason. But I mean, I think they're really going heavy on Simmons. We lost him. And it's like, I just think it's kind of a stain on the team, really, and all the fans that they're not bringing the money, and the fans are kind of being driven away. It's been tough to watch. It's been not fun. It's even if they're okay with it, I just don't think, I don't know if the payoff in the long run will pay off. People say, oh, we're going to have a competitive team this year. Will we? Like, sure, we can have Nurk and Dame and them, but the long run, I kind of compare tanking to the Warriors. Like, they build through the draft. Are we guaranteed that?
Well, I mean, if you look at the Warriors, what was that, 2 years ago when they got the number one pick, I think, were they the number one or the number two? Number two. I mean, they were an established team, a well established team. They had unfortunate injuries, and they decided this year is a lost year. Let's just get that number one pick, or try to get that number one pick, draft from there. They drafted a good player. Unfortunately, he just hasn't been able to play very much. But I want to address something you said there, Derek.
They didn't trade away their CJ either, though.
Well, let's be honest. Dame and CJ had run their course. There wasn't much left for what we could get with Dame and CJ.
The Warriors have Steph and Klay, and they still seem to be fine.
Well, the issue with Steph and Klay is Steph and Klay were more defensive minded than CJ and Dame were.
Klay fit a lot better. They're like just more talented, and you know, Klay can play defense, unlike CJ. Or CJ isn't, you know, I think he gets hated too much on defense, but like, I think he can guard point guards okay. So Klay can guard like one through three. So that's what CJ can't bring for us.
And me and Fawad are definitely not CJ haters. We like CJ. We appreciated everything he's done for us. I just, after, you know, 8 years of having Dame and CJ, I'm okay, not technically 8 years, but having that core there and not really doing much with it, it was time to break it up. And I think everybody, you know, I think Dame knew that. I think CJ knew that. Unfortunately, Neil O'Shea didn't know that for a while. So, but I wanted to address one other thing you said, Derek, and it's true. For the fans, tanking, especially season ticket holders, tanking is terrible. You spent this money to buy season tickets. You spend this money to invest into this team, to watch this team, and it's like you don't want to go watch these games, and now you have all these tickets that you paid for.
I covered a game here in Indy when the Pacers are here. I have my own site, and it was just hard to watch. I mean, it's like a great opportunity to cover a game, but it's like I was like, this story is going to suck.
Yes. And the one benefit to tanking, the one benefit is we do get to see these players we never would see normally. We get to see them either grow, or we at least get to see what they have. And like I just said a little bit ago, we now know, or we should know at least, CJ Ellaby, he ain't got it. Wofford, Watford has it. He's a good enough player to be on an NBA roster. I like what I see with Eubanks. Do I think he is like we have to sign him? No, but would I be opposed to signing him? No, I wouldn't mind having him.
I feel like you have to pick between Eubanks and Watford, though. I don't feel like there's a need to have both of them.
I think Eubanks can play the five and
Watford. But my question about Elleby, I know Neil is always against this, which I kind of understand, was if we got a G League team, I'm wondering if Elleby could really excel there and grow his skills.
Elleby is definitely a G League or Euro League player. He has got more than enough opportunity this year. And then add on last year, just the practice alone, you know, being around NBA players and the training and everything. He's not shown anything, in my opinion, other than his hustle, which I give him props. He is a hustler. He can outwork almost anybody on the court at some points, but he just looks like a lost puppy out there. Fouad, you were going to say something? Go for it.
I don't remember what I was going to say.
something about Watford and Eubanks.
Oh, yeah. I don't think it's... Like, I think we can have both of them. They're probably not going to be in the rotation, at least not both of them. So I think it's good to have that depth with bigs, especially in Portland. And then I think that, you know, Eubanks is more of a five, in my opinion, and Watford's a four. He can probably even play the three if his shot develops a little bit more. I think they don't overlap too much.
So one thing I want to ask both of you guys is your opinion on this part of aspect of tanking. A lot of people say, you know, tanking does not build a winning culture and does not, you know, it promotes a losing culture.
I mean, the Hornets are that prime example of that.
Of a losing culture?
Yeah, I mean, the Hornets, they've tanked 1 year, and somehow, despite MJ being their owner, they've done, like, what, maybe a first round exit?
Okay. So let me ask you this then. How is that any different than us making it into the playoffs, squeaking in the play-in, and then losing in the first round? And then losing out on our draft pick?
Any consistency. They can't draft. The Blazers made the conference finals. We made the second round.
I mean,
the last couple
Hornets
years
drafted pretty well.
I think there is value to getting into the first round, even if you lose. I think it builds experience, especially if you're a young team. I think, you know, it just gets people, I guess it gets the players excited, or it gives them motivation to get back to the playoffs next year to work harder. I don't know. I see the value in it.
That is another big reason why I'm against the tanking, because I feel even if these young guys competed, I feel like if they would have kept a couple extra pieces and, like, try to at least make, like, the play-in or the first round, that would have done a lot more for these young guys than getting blown out by 30 constantly.
Well, let me ask you this. If, let's say, we take this team right now with all the injuries that we have and we don't make any moves, we bring them back and they make the playoffs this year and they get their playoff experience, first round exit most likely, do you think we're a better off team now with Lillard, Simons, Nurk, and then all these? I'm going to say this, and unfortunately, some people might not agree. A lot of these G League players that are on our team, they're not going to make us any better next year. No, having that one round of playoffs.
But it's really the players like Josh Hart, Ant, Watford. It's the people that are going to actually here next year.
Yeah, those are role players, but who can we get in free agency is going to be those defensive, lockdown, small forward, power forward center guys.
Well, and that's something that we would have to address in, you know, off season with the picks that we would have from tanking. If we make the playoffs, we don't have these picks.
I'm so conflicted now because I think that, you know, if Ant and Hart were healthy and they were playing and made the playoffs, I think that would be a huge experience and, like, development for them.
For sure.
Without, and the increased role without Dame and stuff. So I think that would just make them better next year too. But I think that, you know, because there's two things that I'm thinking of that, like, made me okay with, you know, not going for the playoffs because, one, we don't have our pick. If we make the playoffs, it goes to Chicago. So I think that would hurt us significantly. You know, in that case, like, getting the 14th pick would have been the best because making the playoffs means you lose a valuable, either a trade chip or someone you actually draft and develop, you lose a valuable asset. And then also because Nas missed, got injured and he's out for the season, I think that's someone's development we're already losing. So I think if he was healthy, then there's more of an argument for it because there's, you know, there's three or maybe four guys that you want to develop rather than two or three. So I think because he's not there, it lessens that incentive for me a little bit as well.
I mean, you're spot on. Simons and Hart getting that playoff experience, pretty much being the one and two, would be good. That would be about the only asset to making the playoffs at this point, because Williams and Greg Brown, even Watford, Eubanks, they're not going to benefit that much from one playoff series. Because if that's the case, then Simon should be far ahead because he's had, I think, two playoff series that he's participated in. That, you know, granted, like you guys said, losing's not fun, and I'm not a fan of losing.
No, when I covered this game here, I didn't feel like I was covering a true NBA game. I thought it was like summer league or something. It's kind of like this.
It's definitely hard to watch and hard to root for. So.
Yeah, it was.
I understand that for sure.
Daniel, before we move away from the tanking issues here, do you have anything else as far as tanking goes that you want to talk about?
I just don't. Even like the times that they've sat like Anthony Simons and Josh Hart just for like rest, it's like, what's the point? Chances are we're already going to lose the game. It's like they're like asking to get blown out by 30 sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I think it's because we kept winning with them. Yeah. So then they were like, okay, we can't risk this anymore.
We were being too competitive.
Year, they were down almost 20.
Sorry, what?
But like before the All-Star break, they went on like that little winning streak, but Nurk was playing. I don't think even with Ant and Josh Hart, they win games after the All-Star break.
Well, I think they have. I think with Ant and Josh Hart, we're much more competitive and on games where, for example, like the Pacers and the Kings and these lower teams, those two players are enough to beat them. And they're like saying, we don't want even a chance at beating them.
Our end of the year schedule is going to be easy too.
Yeah, the Pacers, like Hart dropped, it was like 20 plus, and then the next day they gave him some fake, like, injury thing. It was like, wow.
Yeah. Unfortunately, as much as I've enjoyed watching Josh Hart play, even though you guys are against the tank-wise, that was probably the best move was sitting him, sitting Ant, sitting Nurk. I have to believe that there's some kind of agreement with Nurk that they're going to re-sign Nurk. Clearly, them trading CJ away was telling Ant, we're re-signing you. So I have a feeling those two players are going to be locked up.
I feel like they don't sit Nurk if there's not agreement in place for a contract this offseason.
Exactly.
100%. I think he'll stay.
And Nurk would have no reason to sit if he wasn't going to re-sign here because he would want to go out and prove that he still can play and he can be a good player for a team.
And he wanted to go earn his money.
Yeah, exactly. So him sitting tells me. Yeah, him sitting tells me he was okay with re-signing and that it's going to probably happen. Let me ask you both this question. I'll start off with Daniel first. How, as far as Joe Cronin has done this season, what would you like to see from the offseason? Strictly free agency, what would you like to see?
That's easy. My biggest thing is get rid of our draft picks.
Okay.
Both of them?
Maybe not both, but at least one.
So you're wanting to get like established players.
Mm-hmm.
If the plan is to like go for it next year, that has to be the case.
I actually agree with you 100% on that.
That was
because as of right now, the picks, like if the Pelicans don't make the playoffs and they lose in the play-in, we're looking at picks 6 and 10.
I mean,
Roy and Dame came at 6.
Yeah, but like, how often are you going to draft people like them?
And you have lots of guys in the late lottery that end up panning out too, like Booker, Mitchell. There's always like it's a crapshoot. You can get good guys anywhere. So I'm kind of like, I want to trade the pick too, but I'm also like, we can get a good piece even with the 10 and 11 pick. So it's just a hard situation to think about either way.
But like the thing is, like if we don't trade them, then you're pretty much you're going with Dame, Nurk, Simons, Josh Hart, and a rookie.
Yeah, so I get that, and I reluctantly am okay with trading it. I just don't want Jeremy Grant to be that piece. Like, if we're trading it, we should get someone better.
Yeah,
I do want Jeremy Grant, because I think he could be a good fit as our third or fourth option. If he's the guy that we're trying to get, I'm like not too excited about that.
Before Derek, I'll let you answer just a second. I just wanted to add on. I agree with you, Daniel. I think trading the picks for a stat, I guess it depends on who we're trading the picks for. I think Jeremy Grant is a good piece to have for the Pelicans pick. I don't want to do both picks for that. I think that would be stupid, and I don't think that's going to happen. But I just want to get that out there. Pelicans pick for Jeremy Grant and maybe like Eric Bledsoe or, you know, something to help with the salaries, give them an expiring contract. That pick that we have right now, as of right now, we're technically in the sixth spot. That could change. That could be a top four pick. There's a small chance it could be a first round, you know, a first pick. That's where it depends on who we get for that pick, because there are a couple players in this draft. And if you guys haven't listened to our last episode where we talked about the players in the draft right now, and we had someone kind of talk about which players he thinks would fit this team, there's a couple players that I do actually think could be good pieces to have. Maybe not next year, but the year after. One of those, and now he's been my new favorite player to talk about, is Keegan Murray. And I think that's the player that at 5 or 6 we could definitely get. But, Derek, before we move on, offseason-wise, what do you think needs to happen with the offseason, or what would you like to see?
It's tough because I really thought we were going to get Simmons as much as I knew the Sixers were talking to him and stuff, and the Nets, but I thought that was going to be the big move. So I'm really curious, but I think we need a small forward or a power forward, somebody. Then maybe this is just my Sabonis and fan stuff. I think he would have been a good pick. We need someone big and stable. And that's my question. Who's that going to be? Who's going to be the...
So how do you feel about...
That can be a big piece, that veteran leadership that can bring us a title.
So do you think Jeremy Grant is that guy or no?
I don't think he's a championship guy. I think he's maybe a mid-range, like he's that second tier. I don't think he's that first tier. That's my question, is who's that first tier guy? Do you go out? I think Paul Millsap's been mentioned, but
I mean, he's like 4 years old now.
Yeah, we need somebody who can anchor down the middle with Nurk or the small forward. I mean, even... Do we bring back Nick from the Clippers? Do we bring back Covington?
Well, after Covington went for 40, maybe we should.
I mean, even call me crazy, but we really had a sharp shooter in old Frenchie and Batum. I mean, shoot.
Yeah, Batum's a little past that.
Yeah, we just need somebody who can have some sort
of those guys are like the veteran role.
Well, to me, like, Derek, what you're saying to me sounds like Jeremy Grant. He might not be the like number one, you know, this is the player that we have to go get.
Yeah,
but everything you're saying right now, a shooter, a guy that can kind of space the floor, can lock down the paint still with Nurk, can defend multiple positions, Jeremy Grant can do that.
Yeah, he can do that, but we also need that veteran presence of maybe somebody with the title who's came close. I mean,
I don't think we need that. We have Lillard.
I think it always does help.
The farthest we got with him was the conference finals, and I love him, but we need somebody also maybe who has a little bit more experience than him or has the same amount that has won a title, in my opinion. But
so you're not wrong. Yeah, you're not wrong. There is value there. I just, who that would be and what they could contribute, I don't know who it could be. I'll be honest with you, at this point in the season, I know hindsight's, you know, we already know how it's panned out, but I think we dodged a bullet not getting Ben Simmons.
Yeah, I had felt that way too. I don't like the locker room drama, but it's like Dame has said he wouldn't mind playing with them, and this also called me crazy, but the way the Lakers have been imploding and new GM, I'm not sold on Cronin, but could we bring back Melo?
No, please, no.
I mean, people say he's not great on defense, but
unfortunately for Mike, no. Is
good. I mean,
at that point, you're just getting an offensive. You're just getting an offensive player that can't do much else besides that. But I get what you're saying. You want to have somebody who's got that experience. Granted, Melo's never won a title, but he definitely has experience.
And doesn't he and Coach Billups have a relationship?
Yeah, they do. Yep.
Could Blake Griffin, is that guy an option? I mean,
Blake Griffin's not a bad choice, but
has he even played like much this year? I swear he's like warming the bench for Brooklyn.
Yeah, he barely plays any minutes for Brooklyn.
I mean, at that point, then it's like I'd rather have LaMarcus Aldridge.
I was watching a Nets game.
My question is, now that his health issues are better, I didn't want to say his name because I didn't want to just start spitballing. I'm like, what if he came back?
I was watching the next game, a Nets game a few days ago, and I was like, I saw Blake Griffin. I forgot he was even in the league, so I don't think he's, you know, if he's not helping them even make the playoffs, I don't think he's going to help us too much next year.
So for Derek, you're essentially saying that we need to get some kind of power forward / center, get some kind of veteran presence also, or both of that be the same, you know?
I think Grant's a good option, but I think we need Grant and maybe one more key piece is my thing. I think Grant's great, but I think we need one more key piece.
I agree.
Okay.
Whether that's draft-wise or free agency, I don't know, but I think we need someone else.
So let's jump into this last little topic here. For me, my ideal offseason would be trading that Pelicans pick for Grant, using that our pick, if possible. If it's, let's just say it's a top five, it's the fifth pick. Let's just say it's the fifth pick. If Keegan Murray's there, I'm down for grabbing Keegan Murray. If Banchero's there, which I would highly doubt he would be number five, but if we were somehow to be able to get him, then I'd be fine with that. Other than that, I am on the fence of trading that pick away and trying to get something better. Derek, let's start with you.
Yeah, I mean, I think trade is the key way to go. I think Cronin, I think the one with the Clippers is really questionable. I get the whole CJ one. I think the Clippers one with Covington, that one is kind of questionable. I think we should have kept him. But I think the trades are key. Like Grant, use that Pelicans pick, and then find somebody in the draft. Otherwise, go after someone else somewhere with a pick and maybe, I don't know, LB and one other person.
Well, I think LB is going to be a free agent, so I don't think we'll be able to trade.
Yeah, I just wonder if there's like a good pick, maybe a role player or sort of a bench player we can just do for like value.
Well, I mean, we have Watford, we have Williams, we have
true.
Technically, we have not.
Now that it comes to my mind, that's the one name I kept forgetting, but I think people don't really know about him these days.
I mean, I would be okay with Ibaka, but not for our pick.
I think that would be a really, that's sort of the guy I kept, couldn't really figure out. I think if everybody in him and like Grant, that might be the glue there.
How about you, Daniel? NBA draft. What's your feelings on it?
My thing about trading the pick is I would trade them, but it's just there's not very many realistic options out there.
Yeah,
They're going to have to keep their pick, and if they do keep it, I hope they take either Keegan Murray or AJ Griffin.
I'm okay with that as well.
They have to get rid of that Pelicans pick.
I agree.
Get rid of at least one of them. They can't keep both.
Yeah, if you're keeping both, then you're clearly building for the future and not building for right now. Let me ask you guys both this question, because this name has been popping up lately. And Fouad, you too as well. This name has been popping up recently. Would you be okay with trading our pick to the Knicks for Randall?
Yes.
Yes.
No.
I'm on the fence, but I'm more on the no side.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like I said, I'm more go towards Ibaka or go towards somebody that people don't think of. Loans or somebody on Toronto or Memphis or even Miami. But sometimes the key thing we saw with Mello was if we can bring someone from a team where the team's not doing well or they're not really getting noticed, the culture with the Blazers, I don't know why, it's weird. It seems people change and they just get better now.
What about you, Daniel?
Randall? My thing about Julius Randle is when his first year on the Knicks, when nobody really knew what he could do as a first option, he was an all-star. Well, then this year, they played him differently and he didn't have as good of a year. But I think if you put him like in a second or even like third option scoring role, he would have another all-star year because they wouldn't be as focused on him.
Is his contract worth it? Because it's got a pretty big contract. And
for us, we have that nice trade exception right there. So I would even maybe the first pick and maybe Watford.
Dwight Howard.
It looks like Julius Randle has a 21 million cap hit next year.
You know, the one person people have talked to me about, a really good friend, is even probably more into Blazers than I am. I've grown up with them as the Warriors with JaVale.
I get what you're saying. To me, though, those are just small free agent moves. That's not
These guys are like veterans. You sign them at the end of free agency.
These aren't guys you're going to be like day one free agency. Yes, we got JaVale McGee. Yes, we got, Blake Griffin. Like,
they're not going to move.
Those
are
towards
the
end. Yeah. But Griffin might be a thing. JaVale McGee would be nice depth to have.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we necessarily need big stars, but I think we need solid, role players who can contribute at a good level, like we saw with Seth Curry. We need those players who can come in and just shine.
I agree. So I was wrong. I said 21 million. Say that again.
What about Christian Wood from Houston?
I mean, there is value there.
I like him, but there's been a lot of attitude concerns, so that's why I don't like him, but I think strictly talent-wise, he does fit with us. I think he could be good, but I am always hesitant to trade for guys who have said to have attitude issues. So
Attitude issue, I'm not as concerned anymore. It's not the jail Blazers culture. And Dame, crazy enough as it is, we saw it with Melo, how he was toxic in OKC, toxic in Houston. Has it granted he had a year off, but they seem to meet Dame and enter that locker room, and they're a brand new person.
Well, let me put it this way. Winning does a lot for that. If you're winning, your attitude changes pretty quick.
Well, that's the thing with Christian Wood, because when he got traded, when he went there from with us, when they did a sign and trade from Detroit, he went there to play with James Harden and contend.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then that just became a dumpster fire and he was just left there.
Yeah, so I think he said he still wants to be there now, but that he could just be saying that, so it's probably not a lot of.
Yeah, I think he's just saying that. Yeah,
that's true.
So, he's probably just saying that to fix all the locker turmoil that was happening earlier.
Yeah, I mean Tristan Thompson, he was with the Pacers for 4 days and he wrote out this huge letter leaving, thanking the city. It's bruh.
So from what we just talked about before we wrap up here, I want to correct real quick. I said 21 million next year. I was wrong. Julius Randle next year is 26 million. So my question, last question to you guys is, you guys were both okay with Julius Randle. So are you guys considering him? Are you okay with him to be our number two guy? Because at that point, there is 26
one other
million.
Guy I'd bring in ahead of Randle. I'm not sure if I'm going to take some heat for this, but I know because of how he's been acting off court, especially with this certain video that he put out. But Cantor, I mean, I know defensively he had his moments, but it's like around the glass there, he sacrificed his body. I mean, someone with his work ethic.
He's like done though. He's like beyond done.
He's not done. I mean, he has plenty of energy left. He's just being, in my opinion, kind of blackballed because of what he's been doing.
Oh, but even with us, his last year here, he wasn't that good. Like, he was fine, but he's like your eighth, ninth best guy.
Yeah, and once again, that's just one of those moves where you're like, you're just getting depth there. That's not someone you're going to be like, thank God we got him. I mean, Cantor was pretty bad for us the last year we had him. He stepped up for us big when Nurk went down. I mean, defensively, he's obviously not there, but rebounding offensively. And like you said, he did give up his body on, you know, on some plays, but he's kind of just been. Not very many players that we could get. I mean, there's Zach LaVine, which I don't see us getting Zach LaVine.
No.
Bradley Beal. I don't see Bradley Beal coming
here.
Just have
to hope some okay team crashes and burns in the playoffs and decides to blow it up. But
exactly.
Barring that happening, yeah, our options are pretty slim.
Yeah, I mean, there's TJ Warren maybe, but
he's played four games in the last like 3 years, so
that is a risk that you would have to really consider taking if you did decide to try to go after Warren, because like Fawad said, he's not played very much. But
really
when he did
want
play
him
last
at the deadline, though. But I think, I mean, like, I'm still okay with him. I just don't. I think you have to remember that he might not be healthy.
Yeah,
but I think he would be a good piece for sure.
Because our franchise seems to struggle. They always have those players that get hurt. They seem to have a curse.
You're not wrong there, unfortunately. I want to thank both of you guys for coming out. I know it's been tough, especially for you two, because you are against tanking. So I know it's been tough for you guys.
Yeah, especially.
But I do see a light at the end of the tunnel. I do feel we are doing the right things, making the right moves. And as much as it sucks for you guys to have to watch, you know, and have to deal with, unfortunately, to me at least, I think it's the right thing to do. And I think we're going to
But will we have a second or third round team next season? That's my question. I mean, if this is all for what, a first round exit, I'm not going to be pleased.
But if it was a first round exit this year, you'd be pleased?
No, but I'm just saying, I think we're going the right direction, sure, but this cannot all be for a first round exit next season.
Well, no, I agree. This off season is going to be the biggest off season there is. At least that I've been a part of, this is going to be the biggest off season. What happens this off season is going to set the tone for the future for the next 3-4 years.
I think they need to at least at the bare minimum make the second round next season.
I mean, I'm hoping for even deeper than that. And yeah, I think it is possible.
I'm really hoping for conference finals are deeper, but I'm saying for fans to at least go back and not have their total bridge burn and stuff, they need to show that they can at least make the second round, if not third.
I get that. Fawad, anything you want to talk about before we wrap up? Anything you want to say?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Daniel, Derek, both of you, I appreciate you guys both joining and talking with us. hopefully we can get you guys on another podcast. You know, maybe once the draft's going on or something, we'll do another kind of group podcast or something. But I appreciate both of you guys coming out here, talking with us, letting us know, you know, your side of the story, your side, your view on tanking. You're definitely not wrong in a lot of aspects. It's just there's nothing wrong with having different opinions. And, you know, hopefully at the end of all this, we'll be hoisting a trophy and we'll all be celebrating. One bad year for that, I'm okay with.
Yeah.
So
I'll take one bad year for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Both of you guys, thank you for coming. I hope you guys have a good night. And everybody that's listening, thanks for listening and have a good night. And as always, Rip City, baby.